الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه، وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا، إنه هو السميع البصير. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected and honorable Ulama Ikram, members of the congregation, brothers and sisters who may possibly be listening as well, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us a unique opportunity every Jumu'ah to discuss matters related to our spirituality, our connection with Him, and also matters related to the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are in the last week of the sacred month of Rajab, and Rajab is from amongst the sacred months. And in the week in which the 27th of Rajab appears, of recent times, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from north to south, east to west, has been commemorating this particular week, the week in which the 27th of Rajab comes, as Al-Aqsa week. And the reason for that is that it is famous and well known that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken on the sacred journey of Isra and Mi'raj on this particular night. And that particular night on which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken was a very sacred and great night, because Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was taken from Masjid al-Haram to al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and that part of the journey is referred to as Isra, travel by night. And then from Masjid al-Aqsa, the journey continued to the seven heavens, and that part of the journey is referred to as Mi'raj. And this entire journey happened during one night. And because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to al-Masjid al-Aqsa, that is why ulama from around the world and scholars from around the world and people who engage in advocacy for the emancipation of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, they have declared that this Masjid Al-Aqsa on this last week of Rajab, the week in which the 27th of Rajab appears. And therefore, in keeping with that global Ummah theme, I felt that today we should discuss some aspects with regards to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. The objective, the purpose of this is to keep that flame burning, to keep that concern burning in the heart of every single Muslim and mu'min and believer with regards to the importance, the pivotal nature of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. The Palestinian issue is not one that is a political matter that is specific to the land of Palestine. Neither is it a matter that is an Arab matter. It deals with the Arab League. Nor is it an issue that is a Middle Eastern matter. The issue of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, the issue of Jerusalem, the issue of Palestine, the matters of Gaza, each of these issues are issues that pertain and affect the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you think that global forces have united against a small crowd of people who call themselves Hamas? That they have parked their ships in the Mediterranean? That they had bombed the hell out of Gaza for 2 solid years because they were trying to affect the small group of people? No. It is a matter which affects the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore it is so very important for us as Ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like we recognize all our other duties and obligations, that we recognize this as a duty and obligation that rests on our shoulders because we are Ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I thought that we should discuss some aspects with regards to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak in the light of the Holy Quran and in the light of the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we develop some sort of capacity, some sort of affinity, some sort of love for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, and we start doing whatever there is in our control. And there are a lot of things that we can be, because we feel overwhelmed that there might be nothing for us as ordinary human beings, ordinary ummatis. There's nothing that we can do about it. This is a matter that has to be dealt with by global authorities and people who have been put in charge, and we can do nothing about these aspects. That is an incorrect understanding that we can also be doing. But first of all, let us try and understand the importance of this particular area. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of the 15th juz, he mentions that glory be to that being, subhanalladhi asara bi abdihi, who took by night his slave and his servant. And there's a lot that can be discussed about all of these aspects, but there's no time on a Jummah occasion to go through details and tafsir. It is just to create some awareness, and we should pick up the Quran, pick up books of tafsir, start reading about Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and create capacity ourselves, our children, our families, and the greater Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise is due to, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who took his servant by night from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, Masjid Al-Aqsa. And Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa means the furthest masjid. Al-Aqsa means the furthest masjid. So the ulama and the mufassirin have written a lot about all of these aspects. But the very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his celestial journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa before taking him to the seven heavens is proof enough of the importance of Al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have taken him from Masjid al-Haram to the seven heavens. Masjid al-Aqsa is the second masjid to have been built in this world. The first masjid, of course, was Al-Masjid al-Haram. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi-Bakkata mubarakan wa hudan lil-alamin. The first masjid that was built by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam when he was sent into this earth, because when he was sent into the earth, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commanded him to start building places of worship where people could worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first masjid that he built was the Ka'batul Musharrafa, the holy Kaaba in Makkatul Mukarrama. And of course it was rebuilt thereafter by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam with his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And 40 years after the building of Al-Masjid al-Haram, the Kaaba, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam built Al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak with his other son. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam built Masjid al-Haram, later on rebuilt it with Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam also rebuilt Masjid al-Aqsa with his other son Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam. These are facts of history that we should be aware about. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was neither a Jew nor was he a Christian. ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما. But Ibrahim alayhi salam was one who had submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was on the straight path, and the Quran refers to him as Muslima, as one who submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Al-Masjid al-Aqsa was built 40 years after the Kaaba was built. The distance between Al-Masjid al-Hand and the Kaaba is approximately 1,234 kilometers. Easy fact to remember. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1,234 kilometers approximately is the distance between these two places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be taken to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. He caused for all of the Anbiya to be gathered on that particular night, and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lead all of the Anbiya in prayer on that particular night in Salah. And therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referred to, one of his attributes are Imamul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, the Imam of the Anbiya, the Nabis and the Rusul. And this happened in Al-Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. The ulama also write that the very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to it as the furthest masjid, in that there is an indication that there will also be another great masjid that will be built besides Al-Masjid al-Haram and Al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and that is a reference to Al-Masjid al-Nabawi, the Haram of Madinatul Munawwara. And from this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates towards the building of a third masjid as well. Ulama have written this particular fact. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Masjid al-Aqsa, alladhi barakna hawlahu, that Masjid al-Aqsa which we have blessed its environs. The surrounding area of Masjid al-Aqsa is blessed. And that surrounding area is referred to as the area of Sham, Palestine, Jordan, parts of Syria. This whole area is referred to as the area of Ash-Sham, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed immensely. And this is not the only verse in the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that He has blessed this particular area. In many, many verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about the blessings of this particular land. And for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَلُوطًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ عَاصِفَةً تَجْرِي إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ الْقُرَى الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُسْتَضْعَفُونَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. These are all verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this particular tract of land, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the blessings that there are in this particular land. Blessings from a physical point of view, in other words, in terms of the richness, the lushness of that particular land, in terms of the area, the barakah that is there in that particular land, in terms of fruit, in terms of vegetation, in terms of its spirituality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this particular land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also referred to this land as Bayt al-Maqdis or Al-Ard al-Muqaddasa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to this land as the land, the purified land, and the land that purifies. It purifies other people who come to that land. It also keeps on purifying itself, that land, of evil, of wrongdoing. That land purifies itself in comparison with the rest of the world. During the course of history, Sayyidina Sulaiman was also one of the great prophets who built and rebuilt Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. After Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam built it with his son Ishaq, and Ishaq alayhi salam had one son called Ya'qub. And Yaqub alayhi salam had a son called Yusuf alayhi salam. And this progeny was looking after Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Until the time when the family of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam, of course Yusuf alayhi salam as a son first, and the whole history and the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam you can go into, of how he was thrown into the well by his brothers, how he ended up in Egypt, how the time came when he became the governor of Egypt, and his brothers were forced to come to him to seek provisions, and how that family, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam and his children, after that came and settled down in Egypt. They came as a family of 13 people, 14 people, thereabout. And they had settled down in Egypt. And at that time, they were the caretakers of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. But when they had to leave and come to Egypt, then as time passed, people became of that area, went far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa became neglected once again. And the progeny of Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam started growing in Egypt. And they were the people who were referred to as the Bani. They came as 14 people. Centuries later, when they went back to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, they were, according to the books of Tafsir, some 600,000 people when they had left under the command and the leadership of the great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And we all know the incident of how they went. They escaped from Fir'aun and they crossed the sea and they ended up, they came back to Palestine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to enter into Jerusalem, but they told موسى عليه السلام اذهب انت وربك فقاتلا انها هنا قاعدون. They were not ready to fight and take over Jerusalem and Palestine, and they said to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, you and your Lord go and fight and we will remain over here. And then they were locked into a valley for over 40 years. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam passed away, Harun alayhi salam passed away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent many anbiya to this people, and among the anbiya that he sent was Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, who was the father of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and it was Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam who conquered Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, and he started to rebuild it again. And that same Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, he passed away whilst rebuilding, and Sulaiman alayhi salam continued with the rebuilding to the extent that his time of death came, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with the ability to make the jinnat work. So the jinnat were working, and they used to see Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam looking over them, and they would continue with their work. And the Quran captures this incident, that the time of death of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam had come whilst he was leaning on his staff, on his asa.
فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتِ مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَى مَوْتِهِ إِلَّا دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَأَتَهِ.
The Quran speaks about the death of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, that he was looking over the jinnat and he was leaning on his staff, and his ruh, his soul was captured in that particular manner, and he stayed like that for approximately a year. And the jinnat kept on looking at him, and they thought that he was alive and looking over them, and therefore they continued in their work until the dabbatul ardi ta'kulu min sa'ata, until the ants, the termites, ate the staff of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. And that is when he fell, and they realized that he had passed away a long time ago. And the manner in which the ulama have determined that it was approximately 1 year, because the people of that time, or the jinnat, they checked how much the termites would eat of that staff every single day. And from that they determined that he would have been like this for almost a year like that. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam built Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak again. And there is a lot of history behind all of this. Lots and lots of history that we need to learn. We need to be aware that Sayyid Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak was in the control and in the hands of Muslims from the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was absolutely desolate, destroyed, from the time, approximately 70 years after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, the Romans had come and taken over Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. At that time there were no Muslims, of course. They had come and taken over, they destroyed Masjid Al-Aqsa, they had kicked out the Jews, and they remained there throughout the ages. So the time between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is approximately 600 and some odd years. 70 years after Isa alayhi salam was taken away to the heavens, we don't say that he passed away, because he hasn't yet passed away. بَرَّفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Approximately 70 years after that, Masjid al-Aqsa was taken over by the Romans. It was left destroyed, it became a dump site for all of these years, until the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 500 and something years. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam then had his entire life, 63 years. Then in the sixth year after the demise and the passing away of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who came and conquered Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. He had sent an army of with Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, aminu hadihi al-ummah. He had sent that army and they camped outside Masjid Al-Aqsa for 4 months, solid months. And then the leader of the Christians came to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said to him that we are now ready to hand over the keys of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa to the Muslim army, but we want for your leader to come from Medina and he should take the keys from us as it has been described in our books. Ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he consulted with the Sahaba and he said that why must we trouble Sayyidina Umar to come all the way from Medina to take the keys? Khalid ibn al-Walid looks just like Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and we will send him and he'll get the keys. It's quite in order. So they sent Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Christians came and they said to him that, look, this person, he resembles what is mentioned in our books in many respects and aspects, but in some aspects that resemblance is not found. So please let your leader come from Medina. Can you imagine what amount of detail has been written in the books of the Ahlul Kitab about how they will be giving over the keys to the Muslims? And then, of course, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent that message, and it wasn't like a WhatsApp message or a quick text or email that was sent. Horsemen used to have to ride all the way. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made mashwara with the Sahaba. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was of the view that he should not travel all the way. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was of the view that yes, he should go and travel. And in that particular manner, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made that journey. He traveled away and the keys were given to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Whilst he stayed there for a few days, he had the place of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa cleaned up. He entered on one occasion the holy church of Sepulchre, where it is mentioned that Isa alayhi salam was born. Whilst he was in that church, the azan was called out. The Christians of that time told him that, oh Umar, you can pray here, we don't have any objection. He said, I could have prayed here, but I fear that if I pray here, then it will be every Muslim after me will want to come and pray here, and it might become difficult for you to manage that particular scenario and situation. So therefore, I will pray outside of the church. When the Christians saw this justice, this adl of the Muslims, then they handed over the keys of the holy church of Sepulchre to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu as well. Sayyidina Umar gave those keys to a person, a Sahabi from the Banu Nusayba tribe. And those keys still are in the hands of that particular family, Muslim family. Their duty is to open that church morning and evening. Can you see the justice that Deen and Islam has given us? Nevertheless, there is a lot of history that is behind it. I would like for us to appeal to us that we should create awareness about Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Start reading the tafasir of these verses that I have alluded towards, indicated towards. Pick up some books of history. There are small little books that are available, published by Friends of Al-Aqsa, the history of Masjid Al-Aqsa. Little children, little books that little children can read. There is a lot of information that is available, but it is time for this ummah to realize its responsibility with regards to Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha, I'll terminate on that, that whoever is able to travel to Masjid Al-Aqsa and perform salah in Masjid Al-Aqsa should do that. Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, she said that, Ya Rasulullah, what happens if I don't have the ability to travel? He said, whoever doesn't have the ability to travel, then should at least send some oil to be burnt in the lanterns of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, and it would be as though he has visited that area. So, indicating towards support for the Palestinian cause, support for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak, dua, political advocacy, maintaining and sustaining the boycotts that we are supposed to be maintaining and sustaining, just because apparently they might have signed some ceasefire agreements, a unilateral ceasefire, which they violate dozens of times daily from the time it has been put in place. That doesn't mean now that this ummah must stop their boycotts. We must do whatever we can to help and aid our brothers and sisters and little children in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. And the time is coming very close. World conditions are changing very, very swiftly and fast. And inshallah, the time for us to perform the salah of conquest in Masjid Al-Aqsa will come very, very soon. But we must decide whether we want to be a part of that journey or not. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq of amal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah. Rabbil alameen.